Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Now, this isn't right. It says, nice. Salk, given how old you are, I assumed you were referring to Yolo County, California, established in 1850. That's really an unnecessary shot, Brock. Can you believe the kind of grief I take? I'm trying to be young and hip and with it. I said YOLO, and apparently it makes me sound even older.
Well, yeah. Brock, he said, as the kids say, as and we were like, say. The kids said that a long time ago.
Oh, as the monster had tatted on his neck. That's what you should have said, Salk.
What?
What? You remember the monster? Come on. The D-tackle from Alabama?
That Jesse Williams?
Yes. He had YOLO tatted right below his ear, dog. You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember that.
You don't. Of course, you don't remember anything.
That's true.
That's a beauty.
I didn't even remember whether people were still saying YOLO, but isn't that how the Seahawks played yesterday? Just like, yes. Hey, free and easy, man. Go out there and do whatever the heck you want, because who cares?
They played like many of us have dreamed of the golf carts at Echo Falls Golf Course. Just one time. No governor. No governor on that, please. Let me take it down the hill. I may flip it. It may go in the woods, right? Because those Echo Falls, they got the built-in governor on the golf carts. You're not going fast down those hills. And they played without a governor yesterday. They played, their risk tolerance was way down. Had to be, Mike. You know, I think with their struggles up front, and credit to Pete Carroll, who everybody criticizes of never evolving, never adjusting, never, you know, taking risks that, hey, we're going to try to kick a 56 yarder. We need points. Cause with this O line in the backups involved in that, in the line of scrimmage and backup running backs and some of the injuries, like, hey man, we've got to try to capitalize and maximize on any and every opportunity we get.
You think they should have kicked the field goal though in fourth down late?
Yes.
Right? I mean, yeah. Like, there's yes. YOLO, and then there's just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, go up by two scores with 5 minutes left.
Then there's YOLO tatted underneath both ears. Like, Jesse
too much
had
YOLO.
Jesse had it under just one. We really don't need it on both. Yeah, that was...
It's like, you only live once, but, like, actually do the living. Right?
That
there's
was
no, there's no reason
surprising.
To just not live.
That yeah. was pretty surprising. Because the run game, other than, you know, a couple times where your guy Penny got out and Adrian ran through some tackles, it was... some hard yards in there.
And yeah, their offensive line did nothing. They were awful.
No. It was a tough day at the park. The poor left guard, Jake Curran, was a tackle in college and decent, but is not a guard. And I just felt he was so overwhelmed at so many times.
What did you think the defense was more aggressive in this game?
Yes and no. Yes and no. You'll have to ask Pete today. I'll be very curious why they made a point of it on the broadcast of how the defensive line coach came down from, did you catch that? I know you watched the game fast yesterday, but they, D-line coach, according to the broadcast booth yesterday, so take that with a grain of salt, but they said the D-line coach, Clint Hurt, had come down from the booth to the field. And I don't know, that's pretty uncommon. You do not see that very often. You will see that decision Mike made before a game, going into a game. You'll see a coordinator many times, if they got a young quarterback, they want to be on the field. Like, okay, I know I'm usually in the booth, but I need to get on the field to communicate, to talk to this guy right off the field, right off the series. To see a D-line coach. So I don't know if that is 100% verifiable fact. I think you could kind of ask Pete and say, hey, the broadcast made a point at halftime because the D-line was different in the second half. Mm-hmm. They feed it off field position. That absolutely helped. The noise in that building was as loud as it had been this season. They gave them something to cheer about. There was exciting play. I did notice there were a few more line stunts maybe in the second half, but it wasn't as if here's corner blitz.
Well, I didn't mean
blitz.
I'm not talking about blitzing or anything. I just mean like the way you've called for them to be more aggressive in the secondary with their linebackers and all of that stuff. And it looked like they did a lot of that in the game, especially in the second half.
It did. And the coverage was a little bit tighter. They played, I think, some man to man coverage. They've been mixing those things. So no, I didn't see like any wholesale change. But as far as temperament, Yeah, Mike, they had a really rough first half, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, George Kittle ran wild. The Niners won basically up and down the field, other than Garoppolo's bizarre interception and some of his misses. Yeah, they did not have a lot of struggles. And in the second half, again, field position, important. Energy in the building, important. An offense that got it going and scored points, important. I think it gave everybody life and juice. And you know what? I thought Neal played very good, and Quandre Diggs played his best game of the season. He was everywhere and anywhere. A pick, huge collisions, coming down and finishing, covering well. Yeah, I mean, it was as obviously as complete a game as they had played in 6 or 7 weeks. And aside from just the aggressiveness and the mindset and the YOLO, it was, you know, I think complimentary. People say that to you, I'm sure, today. They tied things together. We finally played complimentary football in all three phases. And when you do that in this league, you can beat anybody. Anybody beats anybody in this league. Even the Detroit Lions win a game.
And you find a way to beat this team, it seems like, every single time. Did you hear the Mike Garofalo sound? So this is NFL Network's Mike Garofalo on what's going on with Jody Allen and her view of what's happening this season.
And I will add this, Jody Allen, who is the acting owner for the Seahawks right now, the sister of the late Paul Allen. They don't know the fan base up there. How involved is she? No, she's very involved, and she's not happy. She's not looking at this like it's a one-year thing. We've been successful for a decade. I'd imagine there's going to be some changes in some form or fashion, but we'll see what happens once we get to the off-season, Tom.
Your reaction?
Consistent with some of the messaging I've been hearing in reaching out to people. I was just curious, you know, where is Jody Allen in this? It was not as if Paul was the most hands-on owner. He certainly let people do their job, but we got enough snippets over the years, Mike, from the game reports that John Schneider had to write after every game that Paul would review, to some of the people brought in and consultants brought in and people that he would bring in, right, to make sure that everybody, you know, I don't know if the word accountable is correct, but at least challenged, you know, schematically, intellectually, leadership-wise. I mean, Paul was involved in that way. So I did a little digging, and yeah, that is consistent with the messaging that I have heard, that Jody actually, I mean, she loves the Pacific Northwest. She loves this place. This the legacy that Paul purposely wrote into the deal through his battles and his health battles is that she would take it over. And from what I understand, she is there. She's obviously at the games. She is invested. She wants to see this team carry on his legacy and everything that he built with it. And she is engaged and involved. What that looks like in the next step, nobody knows. I think Garofalo there is, you know, you can prognosticate all you want. But I think the important thing for Seahawks fans to know is it's not as if there is nobody at the wheel. She is invested and engaged and wants to see this thing done right.
Well, I'll tell you what, if she's thinking about the coaches, and I talked a little bit about this last week, you don't fire leaders unless, A, you think you've got a specifically a better one out there, or B, they've lost their locker room and lost the ability to lead. You can't watch that game and tell me Pete Carroll's lost anything.
No. No, those guys played with significant juice, and it was so nice, Mike, and we'll maybe dig into this a little bit tomorrow. Spent a lot of time on defense and special teams and playmaking, but it was very nice to see Russell in rhythm. Mm. It was nice to see the ball out of his hands. How many times have I clamored for that? Just get the ball out of his hands. Even if on that opening series it was a 3-and-out, at least the ball is out of his hands, right? We talk about a run game taking the starch out of defenders. You know what else does? Getting the ball out, finding completions. Don't put DK on a pivot route. Put DK on a slant route on third down and let him use his body, and he did. I thought that was one of the better called games by Shane Waldron. I thought schematically, chess piece-wise, putting people in positions for success, the touchdown to Lockett was a beautiful formation. There was a bunch of encouraging, very encouraging stuff offensively, schematically, that saw Russell get into a rhythm we'd not seen since he'd been injured.
They announced you get some bowl games this year? Where are we?
Thanks, Mike.
You?
I appreciate you knowing that I went to Fox, and at Fox, we don't have bowl games.
Well, I knew you were at Fox, thanks, yes, but I don't think I knew that whether Fox
those
had bowl
listeners,
games.
Those listeners.
Fox has no bowl games?
They have the Holiday Bowl, so Joel and Gus get to do the
That's
Holiday
it?
Bowl. That's it? That's it.
One so you're done. Done. You're done for the year?
I think I may get an NFL game or two, so
okay.
We shall.
Oh, that'd
we
be
shall
kind of
see.
Exciting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, let us know how that goes. Who would you be with? Do we know?
Maybe even the Seahawks. Maybe even
really?
The Seahawks down the stretch. Well, we'll see.
That'd be kind
we'll
of
see.
Fun.
We'll see how it all shakes
well,
out.
Well, they're not going to be on any more primetime games. I can assure you of that.
No,
they're pretty well
no.
taken care of that for the year.
Yes.
All right. Well, it sounds sure. like Manny Diaz especially is definitively out now at Miami, and the expectation is they're going to hire Mario Cristobal.
Well, it will be Mario's job. Yep. And now what happens with the Pac-12? Now does Matt Campbell and Phil Knight and, you know, everything we talked about with UW and perception reality. Here's another huge, here's the number two job because of the money involved, the brand involved, the recruiting involved on the West Coast. Now, where does this coaching carousel in the musical chairs go? It'll be fun to watch.
Very interesting. All right, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow morning.
Okay.
All right. 7:45 every morning with Brock Heward.
Hear the Mike Salk Show every morning from 6 to 10 on 710 ESPN Seattle.